The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The LA County Sheriff's Department is flying in ballots from vote centers across the region.
You can see the choppers landing right now. We're standing in the parking lot of the LA County Registrar's Ballot Processing Center. They land right here in the middle, and then you see workers there standing by to pick up those ballots and take them inside.
They're picking up ballots from eight cities, including Lancaster, Santa Clarita, Palmdale, Lakewood, Santa Monica, Van Nuys, Pomona, and Torrance. Once they arrive, the ballots are securely transferred inside, where election workers are receiving and processing millions of ballots. While most ballots are transported by vehicle, election officials use helicopters to bring in ballots from some of the county's farthest vote centers.
They're bringing in choppers to help with the slowest election in the history of the civilized world. They've got about a month. This is just LA County. She mentions there eight cities in Los Angeles. We could drive them up the freeway in like a half hour. You would think just inserting choppers into the mix would break a chain of custody regulation somehow or another. But I can't, you look at this, it's pure theater for one. And I can't decide what's funnier. The fact that you would use helicopters for one city's election for mayor, and you have a month to count everything. Or the fact that all of these talking heads are out there taking this so seriously. I mean, this is the sheriff's county officials are involved. But then there are the reporters, the brain dead media coverage, whether it's local, as you see there, or national. You know, you look at, Mika's head blowing up this morning over President Trump criticizing the election. How dare he do that? He walks out of the interview with Welker. It was rigged. She's screaming for evidence. What a system. All the talking heads there to tell us, listen, don't believe your lying eyes. Everything that's happening is completely normal. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the first show of another work week. You can get to the live video stream of this program at thetrumpet.com or at the Rumble channel, the YouTube channel, and we'd love to hear some feedback from time to time. TD@thetrumpet.com. Where were the helicopters when the Palisades went up in flames? I recall that being somewhat of a story. They couldn't get the choppers in there. They couldn't get water in there. Where's the high rail system that's taken decades? It's not even started yet. Here is the theater to tell you if there is one thing California is especially good at and they work efficiently, I mean, it's streamlined, that would be ballot harvesting. Now, what's hilarious is that even with the choppers, it's still going to take 30 days. It's unbelievable. This is a state that's dying. This is a state, California, that's besieged by curses. And we've written about this over the years. What a spectacle. The whole world is watching this. This is a state that couldn't stay within budget if their lives literally depended on it. There's taxes that are sending people fleeing the state. They can't stand for it. So all they have left to do is leave in droves. And all of the lawmakers in Sacramento, well, they just keep right on spending, keep right on planning these big ideas, these big plans, high rail this, high rail that. Oh, we've got plans to fight the fires, and they never work. But here come the choppers, and they're carrying ballots. And those ballots, They're certainly not for Spencer Pratt. No. He's a Republican. So he's now in third place. Surprise, surprise. He had a slim lead on Friday. And here again, just to give you an idea of how the Democrat machine works, Pratt had no chance in the runoff because first and third were both radical leftists. But the Democrat machine is so vile, so corrupt, they can't even have a guy in second place go into the runoff. Not one that's a Republican anyway. They've got to get rid of him in the primaries. But hey, bring in the choppers and make everything look like it's super, super serious. Very official, 100% secure. My father, in this article back in 2003, we're going back more than 20 years, he mentioned some of the history of California, going back to the 1970s when the state attacked Herbert Armstrong and the Worldwide Church of God. Just this bogus, you talk about corrupt attack. I mean, that was there in the 1970s, and it was so egregious. It was so obviously unconstitutional that Mr. Armstrong had other denominations of the traditional Christian religion coming to his defense. That happens exactly never. That's how bad it was. My father says here, after talking about some of the history, California is the only state that ever attacked Mr. Armstrong and his work. Actually, it attacked a lot more than that. California really attacked the living God. Is there a connection to what is happening in California and God's work through Herbert W. Armstrong? The whole world must come to see that there is. This is a state that has just been pounded with curses, punished. And it's not like the only curse is radical leftist Marxist leadership. That's a big part of the problem. They've had it rigged. It was a trial run. Sundance brings this out. 2018, it was a trial run in California to get ready for 2020 to make sure Trump never returned to office. The only way to do it is with mail-in ballots. And as we were discussing this morning, the news gatherers, it's more than just, you know, fake ballots. That's a big part of it, the cheating and all that, curing the ballots, harvesting the ballots. But, you know, what pulls this off is just basically obliterating the deadline. There is no such day. There's no such thing as Election Day in California. It's 2 months from the point that they send out the mail-in ballots en masse to when they're finally finished counting and making it official. It's 2 months. So then you get up to Election Day. You've got the gal, I'll get to it later. She's in third place. She's crying. She's all but conceding. There's no way I can come back from this. And the Democrat machine was probably just laughing behind closed doors. Don't worry, honey. We'll bring you over the finish line. And, well, it happened over the weekend. Thanks to the choppers. The choppers, they're bringing in ballots from all over L.A. County. You can't drive them on the 101. Oh, it'd take too long, I guess. And why should they worry about even having choppers? They've got a month. They've got a month to do it. It's third world status in California in more ways than one, but especially with respect to counting elections. You add to that the other curses. The fires, the so-called natural disasters, the homelessness. I went through the VDH article the other day. The number of people on welfare in California, the number of people who are homeless. Is God cursing California? My father asked 20-some years ago. Is God now intensely cursing California for its attack against the living God's work under Herbert W. Armstrong? Yes, he is. But as he says at the end of the quote I have here, California is just the beginning. California is the first drop in the bucket, so to speak. My father gave a Key of David program last year. I believe this was last year, 2025. Play clip 12.
Now, of course, they're blaming the governor for a lot of the problems and the mayor. And they are certainly some valid concerns there. And there are real problems here. And most everybody has said there's been a lack of leadership. Where is the leadership in this situation?
Well, they're certainly not going to be more conservative in their thinking, because the machine won't allow it. Karen Bass, I mean, she's grinning ear to ear. She's got this in the bag. All that criticism when the Palisades went up in flames, I guess she gets another go-round. She gets a second chance. Even after that, I mean, that devastating fire that just wiped out all of those mansions, all of those neighborhoods, and the stories about, you know, the low reservoirs or not getting the helicopters in there. I mean, that's all in the distant past. Just move on and get reelected. Thanks to the machine, American Greatness has an article similar to Victor Davis Hanson's piece. In every census from 1930 to 2000, California added more residents than any other state. And by 1970, it had secured the top position in total population. Today, California is anything but a golden state. It's profoundly broken. It has the highest out-migration in the country. It has the greatest income inequality in the country. It has the highest income tax rate in the country, the second highest cost of housing, the sixth highest homelessness rate, the second highest cost of living, and by far the largest state budget deficit. The state is broken. The lawmakers in Sacramento have driven it into the ground. There's no getting out of this pit of financial hopelessness and despair. The state's feeble and repeated attempts to build a high-speed rail system are archetypal. It says corruption and cronyism hinder important projects and undermine much of the state's massive private economy. The point here is that no state has ever had more natural advantages than California. I was just there a few weeks ago. It's still stunning when you fly in, seeing the West Coast, seeing, in this case, Northern California. Beautiful country. So much wealth and prosperity, so many natural advantages. But why are those advantages just going up in flames in more ways than one? No state has ever squandered those natural advantages so quickly. The state's early progressive governance was successful for a while, largely because of the state's enormous resources. But that success couldn't last forever. Heaven on earth is a utopian fantasy, after all, no matter how beautiful the state. Even so, it's amazing and frankly shocking how quickly demographic and cultural collapse has followed the state's meteoric rise. It's interesting the dates it gives, you know, on the ascent, all the way up even until around 2000. And then my father comes out with that article I just quoted to you from 2003. Is California under a curse? That was right around the time when we were shuttling back and forth to Los Angeles to finish out the lawsuit, the litigation over Mystery of the Ages. And that wasn't an attack on Mystery of the Ages from the state of California. That was coming from the Worldwide Church of God, from the Tekach administration. At that time, headquartered in Pasadena, California. And so back and forth we went. We've had personal appearance campaigns in California. We've had larger congregations in years past in California. What has happened in the past 25 years, 26 years? Right now, the nation watches to see if California still have the wherewithal to change their circumstances and elect new leadership. But how can they? I'm surprised Republicans even run for office. It takes a lot of money just to make a campaign run. And I know they're out there trying to raise funds. It's not coming out of their personal pockets in most cases. But still, a lot of people are donating to this system. Bring in the choppers. What a joke. How embarrassing. And then the shameless media to tell you to your face, don't believe your lying eyes. Everything's above board here. Look, we brought in the choppers. I mean, what else do you want? Well, how about a deadline day? How about doing what the rest of the civilized world does? How about knowing the night of the election day who wins? How about that? Can't do it. It's impossible. Takes 30 days. We've got to make sure all the votes are counted. California had everything and still does. Nothing about the state's natural advantages has changed. Well, I don't know about that, given all the wildfires and everything else. But let me just take you back to my father's program from last year, clip 13.
The state of California did attack the living God, and it was all criminal from the beginning to the end, and there was no wrong whatsoever. Now, if you attack the living God, then what is God going to do about it? He does say there will be revenge. God will take care of it. But you don't want to go around attacking God. And the very, very message of God Himself. What a terrible, terrible sin. Late Senator Barbara Boxer said of California, that California has gone through too many tragedies and too frequently. Why is that? Is it because they attacked the living God, the state did? Well, it certainly is at the heart and core of what it's all about. I'll tell you, it's right there in the Bible.
Right there in the Bible, the connection. I mean, but you're only going to hear it on this program, on the Key of David, at thetrumpet.com. That history is so important. We played the Eugene program for the Key of David over the weekend, and I mentioned on that show just how, you know, everything started in Eugene. That was the birthplace of the Philadelphia era of God's church. And today you look at what's happened to that city. That's Oregon. Today you look at the Tkach administration. They're moving people right there to Eugene. And those old stomping grounds for the Philadelphia era. And I mentioned in that show about how the reservoir that they built up in 1942, it just pretty much buried the Fear Butte School, where Mr. Armstrong conducted those first campaigns. Satan hates that history. Satan hates the history of what happened in the city of Pasadena from 1946 to 1986. Satan unleashed the state of California against the Worldwide Church of God in Pasadena in 1979. And then Satan was spearheading the attack on Mystery of the Ages and all of Herbert Armstrong's teachings and writings in 1997. And that was coming from the Worldwide Church of God in Pasadena, California. That state has been pounded. This is from City Journal. Since 2023, the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection has awarded $24 million to tribal groups and other nonprofits as part of its Tribal Wildfire Resilience Program. $24 million. As my son always says when going through these stories. I mean, what could God's work do with a kind donation like that? $24 million for these tribal groups to try to, I guess, prevent fires. And now they're looking into it and realizing that what was meant as fire prevention now may actually be causing fires. Uh-oh. The cultural burns themselves follow various rituals. It's talking about the burns from these tribal groups. Well, let me just back up. Wildlife, the man effectively overseeing the program believes that California was founded on a state-sanctioned policy of genocide and that the state has pursued decades of land dispossession, discrimination, and disconnection. The Newsom administration, he said, was making progress in returning the land to the leadership of California Native American tribes. This is just outrageous, given the problems that the state is wrestling with and the fact that the only thing they're really, really, really good at is harvesting ballots, fake ballots. But these kinds of stories, they're all over the place. Says here, in the words of Ron Good, chief of the North Fork Mono Tribe, the land listens to the incantations, and the intention is to make sure that everything on the landscape, Mother Earth, Creator, everybody understands why we're there, and what we're there for. Then the burning begins. One tribal member uses a traditional elderberry fire stick instead of a modern lighter. Some use dry branches and cottonwood bundles as kindling. In the words of one tribal chief, fire gives life to the land, and everyone benefits from this living spirit. Well, until there's one that's out of control or that comes upon a place that's totally unprepared for a fire, for a wild fire. We saw that happen. So in come the choppers with all the ballots. They're dumping ballots in the... I mentioned on Friday's show, 24,000 for the third place lady. I think her name is Nithya Raman. 24,000 votes for her. And how many for Spencer Pratt, the Republican in second place? Zero. Zero. This was, it's hard to believe, it's been a week ago. This was Nithya Raman's speech on election night when she was so far behind. I mean, it just looked like there's no way. Clip 8.
So this campaign was a long shot. No one knew who I was. I was the last to enter this race. We had no institutional backing. But what we did have was a vision for Los Angeles. A vision of Los Angeles that's joyful and welcoming and ambitious. And we believe that Angelenos were hungry for that vision. And we were right. We were right. Look at all of you. But here's the reality. Here's the reality. That vision threatens some very powerful forces. It does. And they came at us with everything that they had. Tonight may not give us a final answer on this race. Many thousands of votes will be counted in the days ahead, and we may not get an answer we like, but regardless of what happens next, nobody can take away what all of us have built together. Los Angeles is the most magical city in the entire world. Win or lose, I am so proud to be an Angeleno, and I'm so grateful to call this extraordinary city my home. No matter what happens in this election, I'll never stop fighting for it. And I know that every single one of you won't either.
Brought to tears. I mean, she thought, I don't know. I don't think I can get over the hump here. Little did she know. Sundance says here, California ballot counting will continue until the key Republicans in each race are pushed to third place. So now we'll wait for the governor's race, Steve Hilton. When will he be pushed back into third? It'll happen. It says that's when ballot counting will conclude. At a certain point, the pretending gets ridiculous. Not a single person in Sacramento politics doesn't know this. They are all aware. It kind of skips over some of the bits about Eric Holder, who they brought him in 2018. So we're a couple years into... We're a couple of years into President Trump's first term. Holder helps them. He's Obama's wingman, remember? So when Eric Holder shows up to help Gavin Newsom fix everything about California's elections, What do you suppose they're going to do? Sundance talks about how they went in California, illegals, you know, non-citizens, they can still get a driver's license and all that, but what they went in, I think there's some field in the license where it negated the fact that, well, I'm a non-citizen, so that when that shifted over to them be able to vote, well, the machines just don't pick that up. It ignores it, in other words. So there's massive amounts of illegals voting in California. And then you have, we've got to spread the mail-in ballots all over the place. That was 2018 in California. And then guess what they did in 2020 under the cover of COVID? You guessed it, 100 million ballots. Just mailed all over the country. Just floating around everywhere. He says not a single person in Sacramento politics doesn't know this. They are all aware the fraud is impossible to prosecute. The fraud is built into the system. Everyone knows. So you get Donald Trump. I mean, he angrily walks out of an interview. Sometimes he talks tough, like he could send in the feds and do something, but this is embedded into California law. They made cheating lawful. That's straight out of Isaiah 5. It's lawful to cheat. So it's in the laws. And then what did they have to do? Just to, again, take you back to 2020. But what did a lot of these states like Georgia and Arizona have to do to be able to cheat? They changed the rules. And they didn't even change the rules lawfully. Stacey Abrams just changed it behind closed doors. They stole, they're repeatedly stealing elections. And sometimes they're telling us in advance. I'll never forget what Axios said in the lead up to 2020, where they said, this was late summer 2020. Now on election day, there's going to be a red wave. But then the days that follow, you see, suddenly election day turned into election week. Got to have that extra time to harvest fake ballots. With a deadline, it's not possible, or at least it's a lot less possible. But when you don't have a deadline, well, you can just keep creating them for weeks. And then just send the choppers in every now and then. You know the talking heads are going to rush to the camera and say, look at these choppers. Look at how official this is. They know in Sacramento. Kristen Welker could know if she'd do a little investigative reporting. Instead, she just shouts at Trump, where's your evidence? Where's your evidence? Think about how much of a service. I'll talk more about the media here in a bit. We haven't in a while because after Trump came back, God brought him back. You know, it's easy to just move on from the arrogance and the narcissism and the stupidity. But there is so much of it. It's impossible to ignore. I'll get to that, as I say. But going back to the summer of 2020, here's a little flashback from Axios. Basically looking you in the face saying, we're going to cheat. We've got this rigged. We're going to win. And there's nothing you can do about it. Clip 6.
The reason we talk about a red mirage is, in fact, because we believe that on election night, we are going to see Donald Trump in a stronger position than the reality actually is. We are sounding an alarm and saying that this is a very real possibility, that the data is going to show on election night an incredible victory for Donald Trump. That is likely to be what we see when every legitimate vote is tallied and we get to that final day, which will be someday after election day. It will, in fact, show that what happened on election night was exactly that, a mirage. It looked like Donald Trump was in the lead, and he fundamentally was not when every ballot it gets counted.
You have a result on election night where it appears that Donald Trump has won, but a result after ballots are counted that show that Joe Biden has actually won.
That's right.
Well, it happened on a mass scale in 2020. Why not roll it out again in California in 2026? You don't even need COVID. They just send the mail-in ballots out, no problem. You don't need the cover of COVID in California. You've got the cover of the radical leftist Democrat machine. And now it's embedded into the laws that the lawmakers put out in Sacramento. And just like Sundance says, everyone knows it. Kristen Welker knows it. Mika knows it. They all know it. They know that if you held California even just to the deadline, election day, right? Then, well, it would be a different story. Spencer Pratt would be preparing himself for the runoff. It looked like a victory for Pratt last week, but as it turns out, it was a red mirage. Where have we heard that before? Listen to President Trump. He sat down with Welker. This is the one that got a fair bit of play over the weekend, where, again, what sets him off is election rigging, and what sets off the radical left, also election rigging. There is no meeting of the minds here. That's for sure. Clip one.
Very clear. There's no evidence of what you're saying, but there's let me ask you about Todd Blanche.
Listen to me.
Let's talk about
this. There's tremendous evidence. There's nothing but evidence. The election was rigged. It was a dirty election. And it's happening again right now in California. It's happening right now in California. Right now, it's look at what's happening in California. It's 4 days
are doing well
in California. They're dropping fast because it's a rigged election. Let me tell you, it's 4 days and they aren't even close to coming up with
it. That's how they count.
You know why they're doing that? Because they're cheating on the election.
Do you have evidence to support?
All I have to do is look.
That's not evidence.
And I listen to people, and let's see what happens.
But, sir, that's not evidence.
Do you think it's appropriate?
That's how they count the votes in
California. Think it's appropriate that they have an election, and 5 days later, they're nowhere close to picking
a winner? State and local officials acknowledge they are slow. They're urging.
No, they're crooked.
The votes to be counted quickly. That's how they vote in California.
They're crooked, just like you're crooked. Your press is crooked, and Meet the Press is crooked.
To be fair, I'm not crooked, but let's
really?
Let's
continue. You play right into their hands.
Let's continue.
You're either crooked or you're stupid.
Let's continue.
Right into their hands with this. You know that these elections are rigged. Your network knows that they're rigged. You know that I won an election in a landslide, and I got 94% bad press.
But, Mr. President,
you know why I got that? Because you have no credibility.
But you've never presented evidence that it was rigged. Let's keep talking about. I want to talk about Todd.
You have more evidence. There's more evidence than ever presented.
Where's the evidence? The evidence is in the fact that California cannot complete an election on election day like the rest of the civilized world. You'll notice Welker there acknowledged, hey, city officials, they acknowledge they're slow. And then you have the choppers. They're working overtime. They're working. I think that was a nighttime shot at the cold open, if I'm not mistaken. They're flying through the night over Pasadena, over Altadena, over East LA. They got to get to the processing centers. And then we'll know the final tally. Tomorrow? No. Well, no. A month from now. About a month from now. You know what's frustrating about this exchange? Is when you're on the conservative side, that's really the best you're going to get. President Trump angrily telling this woman she's fake news. She's part of the problem. She's crooked. To be fair, she says, I'm not crooked. And so everyone's, you know, has a good laugh. Rah, rah. He stood up to them. But the fact remains, cheating is embedded into this. Just look at what happened in 2024 as an example. In 2020, Axios told us ahead of time, it's going to be a red mirage. But then when the final count is in, then, you know, then it's going to be a victory for blue. Where were those reports in the lead up to this one in 2024? Why did we know the results on election night? Why didn't they take 5 days then? I guess maybe they weren't going to try exactly the same thing. But I think President Trump is right. The only way that he could have won is if it was too big of a victory for them to rig. Because they surely would have tried it again. I mean, I guess they couldn't try COVID again. But my point is, in California, the lawmakers have put it into law. So they don't need COVID. So this is happening every single time. And I'm not sure what anyone could do, including the feds, maybe the Supreme Court. But the whole world is watching, and how embarrassing, how shameful it is to see this happening in the United States of America, and in particular, in the Golden State. Listen to one more from that interview, clip two.
One-sided crooked networks. All right, let's call it quits because I've had enough. Thank you, darling. Have a good time.
Mr. President, let's please. I traveled all the way to Wisconsin.
I've sat in the rain with you for an hour. On and off in the rain, and I've given you enough time. You ought to straighten out your press because you know what?
Mr. President.
A country can never be great with a dishonest
press. Listen, we traveled all the way to Wisconsin for this interview.
Why he keeps sitting down with these people, I'll never know. But you hear it back and forth. You see those kinds of blow-ups. And then you see him routinely going right back to 60 Minutes. CBS, NBC. 60 Minutes, by the way. Scott Pelley was fired. It's interesting to see them when they eat their own, basically. But he was talking about all of these things that happened and just how he brought 50, 60 people in. I forget the new guy. I mean, it's Barry Weiss over the whole production, I believe. But there was some other one that came in as the hatchet man to fire all of these employees. And this was Scott Pelley. Well, I don't have the clip of him actually talking about just how abusive it was to be let go the way that they were. But this one here, he's talking more about President Trump. And I guess the president saying something, questioning his love for the country, and just try to watch it with a straight face, but watch this clip. I'm not sure who he's sitting down with, clip 11.
I've never worn the uniform, but I've been in combat for this country, in Afghanistan and Iraq, Kuwait, been shot at. Spent nights in foxholes filling up with water in the desert. I'm not aware that the President of the United States has ever done any of those things for his country. Please correct me if I'm wrong. You become a journalist because you love the First Amendment. You become a journalist because you love the country. And while all the other descriptions that the president used about me might be applicable, not that one.
Sundance tries to make sense of this. He says here, I've spent a lot of time around people out of a general sense of curiosity. He mentions Pelley and Navarro and others, and talks about just how disturbing it is to witness this sort of thing. In this short video, what we see is a glimpse into the world of deeply disturbed and mentally unstable people, very likely narcissists, with intensely overstated internal senses of grandiosity and self-importance. That sense of identity is certainly why these trait carriers need to cloister together in groups, tribal media, in order to receive the affirmation needed to retain their worldview without challenge. These are deeply intolerant and emotionally unstable people. What you see in this video is not emotionally mature or mentally stable behavior. You're seeing more and more of this kind of reaction. People who, well, it's kind of like the meme. This can't be real, can it? If this is real, it's worse than I thought. And so you've got people on social media, you've got conservative commentators, you've got them pulling their hair out saying, what are we watching? What is happening? And then for his part, Pelly, I mean, he pulls out all of these stories, these whoppers, once he's finally sacked, and then who knows what else, looking for the next phase of his career or a new book deal. You wonder how much of it's made up. You wonder how sincere the emotion is. But you certainly can discern a high level of self-love. And it's not limited to one or two or three people in the media. And it's not limited to the Democrat side either. Every time I look at those kinds of clips, I think, well, man, that is so off the charts. And then I listen to the things that the Trump people are saying about Iran and the war and the relationship with Bibi and Israel. And I'm like, this doesn't even make sense. This is not reality. This is fantasy. We are living in a fantasy world. Just create the narrative that you hold firm to. Kristen Welker's got her side and President Trump's got his. It shows what happens when there's just a complete breakdown in law and order. When you have two standards for justice. I mentioned, I kind of skipped over it, but I mentioned the latest in Iran. Listen to this from Fox News, clip 3.
Breaking news out of the Middle East. Just this past hour, sirens blaring across Israel as Iran launched a major missile attack, its first since the fragile early April ceasefire. Tehran is now warning that U.S. military bases and Israeli assets in the region are, quote, legitimate targets.
At least four waves of Iranian ballistic missiles have targeted northern Israel over the past hour. Many people still in bomb shelters in the northern part of this country. I just got off the phone with President Trump to get his reaction to the ongoing missile attack. As I was speaking with the president out the window, I could see some of these incoming missiles headed toward the northern part of this country. The IDF says they were able to shoot down the majority of the incoming fire. But the president telling Fox News it's certainly not going to help negotiations. I asked him if he had a message for the Iranian regime. He said, what I would suggest to Iran, you've shot your missiles. That's enough. Get back to the table and make a deal.
You shot your missiles. So that's enough. Let's get back to deal making. Does that sound logical? I mean, just common sense. They're firing missiles at Tel Aviv. The ceasefire has evaporated. And President Trump says, let's get to the table and make a deal quickly. Let's move quickly. Israel, for its part, as you would expect, fired back. This is clip 4.
An intense 24 hours across the Middle East. Minutes ago, more explosions rocked the Iranian capital of Tehran as the Israelis are going on the offensive after they came under a significant Iranian ballistic missile attack overnight. This all started yesterday afternoon when the IDF struck the Lebanese capital of Beirut. They were going after a Hezbollah command and control center there in response to rocket and drone attacks over their northern border. Early this morning, civilians here in Israel, second largest city of Tel Aviv, awoke to sirens sounding. The Houthis, an Iranian proxy in Yemen, had launched a ballistic missile toward the central part of this country. This morning, more waves of Iranian ballistic missiles, and the region now waiting to see what will come next in the aftermath of the strikes that are currently taking place as we speak. And so a lot of back and forth happening in the region. And at this moment, the ceasefire has collapsed and the war has resumed.
The ceasefire has collapsed. The war has resumed. That's the situation on the ground. Now, in the previous clip, you heard President Trump say, I suggest the mullahs stop firing missiles and get back to the deal-making, the negotiating table. And then all day yesterday, you talk about back and forth. He's on the phone. Well, not all day, but he's on the phone with Bibi Netanyahu saying, don't retaliate. Don't retaliate. And as you heard there, Bibi retaliates. Bibi fires at Tehran. And then if we're to believe Axios, take it with a grain of salt, Axios says this morning that, well, President Trump is insisting he's calling the shots. Here, the Houthis are being drawn in. Israel's launching into Lebanon. Iran's firing into Tel Aviv. And Tel Aviv or Israel's firing back at Tehran. And then for his part, President Trump is demanding that he's the one calling all the shots here. He's the one in charge. Bibi's always going to do what he says, except for after yesterday. And then listen to this unbelievable clip from Fox News, clip 5.
Trump administration negotiators, including U.S. Special Envoys Witkoff and Kushner, have made significant progress at the negotiating table.
It's in the same report. We're making so much progress. Significant progress. The bombs are flying, by the way. How much mental derangement can you possibly squeeze into a one-hour show? As I've said, we haven't spent as much time on Trump derangement syndrome because President Trump is now back in office. But there's still plenty of TDS. But there's also just a lot of derangement, period. It's all over the place. Proof of just how mentally unstable this world is. Why is it that way? I just want to leave you with a few scriptures to think about. You're very familiar, many of you, with 2 Timothy 3, where it says in verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." We see this all over the place. It's proof that we're living in the last days. "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." And then verse 4, it says, "Traitors, heady, high-minded." Heady means rash or reckless. And then to be high-minded, I mean, that's just blown up on vanity and conceit. High-minded and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. There's a lot of high-minded people in powerful places, whether it's the media, government, Middle East, the Far East, Europe. And those minds are about to clash. And there's a much more powerful mind behind it all. Satan, the Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. And Mr. Armstrong in Mystery of the Ages talked about that influence of the devil, how that he surcharges the air with his attitudes, his moods. His fingerprints are just on everything. Speaking of lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, there's the story at the Free Press about this, I think it's on Amazon Video or whatever. It's about this hockey team, these young people basically, and it's about all these girls that try to get together and hook up with these guys on a hockey team and how it's wildly popular with middle-aged moms, mothers, watching these kids fornicate. They love it, I guess. And a lot of them in this article admit that they're not even attending, you know, activities for their children or spending time with their husbands. Too busy, got to watch this show, got to binge watch. As far as I can tell, the off-campus target audience isn't actual college students, it's moms who want to revisit their carefree college days. They just want to relive their past, their partying past. We've talked recently about what Hollywood is out there producing and promoting. Earlier in the piece, it says, "Warning to children and needy husbands everywhere. If your wife or mother is missing this summer, she's likely off watching Off Campus, the college romance series centered around an ice hockey team and the women who love them. It's the third most popular Prime Video debut ever." It's very popular, this kind of content. I brought that out last week or a week before with that HBO show. But just coming back to the high-mindedness, that we see in the world. Notice what Paul said in 1 Timothy. This is the first epistle, right at the end, chapter 6, verse 17. And he says to Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. If you're the rich and the powerful, don't let it go to your head. Don't be high-minded. Don't be filled with an exaggerated sense of self-importance. Don't turn narcissistic. Don't be high-minded. Don't tell them not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Put your trust in God. God is the giver of blessings. God is the Father of lights. God wants to bless us with fabulous wealth, prosperity, spiritually. Jesus said to be rich in faith. To be rich in faith. Verse 18 says that they do good and they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Tell this to people who are rich in this world. It talks in Revelation 3 about the Laodiceans, the lukewarm Christians being rich and increased with physical things, materialism. They lost their spiritual riches. They aren't rich in faith. Verse 19, it says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. It is more difficult and challenging today than perhaps at any other time in the history of civilization to lay hold on eternal life. And what's incredible about that statement I just made is that we've had it so good. It's not like we're those in, you know, the Middle Ages that were running, literally running for our lives physically because God's people were being persecuted and sought after and murdered. But we've certainly, even with all of that physical, material blessing or blessings, we've certainly witnessed a lot of spiritual carnage and violence. People, while they may be fat on society, they're really emaciated and starving when it comes to spiritual food and spiritual blessings and spiritual riches. Most of God's people have fallen away from the truth. Coming back to the high-minded point, just look at 2 Timothy 1 here in conclusion. Paul says, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. He's talking about the gift of God's Holy Spirit. The greatest gift, the greatest, most valuable gift we could ever receive after repentance and baptism. And it says in verse 7 about this Spirit of God, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sound-mindedness comes from God. High-mindedness comes from the god of this world, Satan the devil. If you want a sound mind, if you want to be filled with godly love, if you want access to awesome power, we need to tap into our great creator God, humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, as it says in another verse, and God will empower us. That is all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.